Santan woke when it was still dark to the realization that a change had taken place while she slept. Although the fire had been built up, the light was weirdly diffused, and the excited voices of Hani and Owa were muted as though they came from a distance. The air was cold and heavy with moisture, and it took Santan a while to realize that they were enveloped in dense fog that had rolled in from the sea during the night. Hani was hopping with excitement and impatience.
Come, Namchelt Hari!
Santan's vocabulary already contained 100 or so of the most important words of San, and she scrambled up.
Kerry, bring!
Hani pointed at the canvas container of ostrich eggs, and then, picking up her own leather bag, scampered away into the fog. Santan ran after her to keep her in sight, for the world had been obliterated by the pearly fog banks. In the valley between the dunes, Hani dropped to her knees.
Look, Namchild!
She seized Santan's wrist and drew her down beside her and pointed to the desert plant that was spread out, flat against the ground. The thick, smooth skin that covered the stone-like leaves chameleoned to the exact colour of the surrounding earth.
Water, Hani!
Santan exclaimed delightedly.
Water, Namchild!
Hani cackled with laughter. The fog had condensed on the smooth leaves and had run down the slanted surface, to gather in the trough-like depressions of the point where the foreshortened stems disappeared into the earth. The plant was a marvellously designed gatherer of moisture, and Santan understood now how that bloated subterranean root was replenished at each coming of the fog.
Quick!
Hani ordered.
Sun comes soon!
She stood one of the empty ostrich shells upright in the soft earth and unplugged it. With a ball of animal fur, she mopped up the glistening pool of dew and then squeezed it carefully into the egg bottle. With that demonstration, she handed Santan a wad of fur.
Work!
She ordered. Santan worked as quickly as the old woman, listening to her chattering happily and understanding only an occasional word as they hurried from plant to plant.
This is a blessing indeed. The spirits are kind to send the water smoke from the sea. Now the crossing to the place of our life will be less arduous. Without the water smoke we might have perished. They have made the road smooth for us, Namchild. Perhaps your baby will be born at the place of our life. What a prodigious benevolence that would be. For then your child would have the special mark of the spirits upon him for all his life. He would be the greatest of hunters, the sweetest of singers, the nimblest of dancers, and the most fortunate of all his clan.
Santan did not understand, but she laughed at the old woman, feeling light-hearted and happy, and the sound of her own laughter startled her. It had been so long. And she replied to the old woman's chatter in French.
I'd begun truly to hate this harsh land of yours, Hani. After all the anticipation I had to see it, after all the wonderful things that Michel told me and all the things I'd read about it, how different it all was, how cruel and how malicious.
Hearing the tone of her voice, Hani paused, with a wet wand of fur poised over the egg bottle, and looked at her quizzically.
Just now, the first time I have laughed since I've been in Africa.
Santan laughed again, and Hani giggled with relief and returned her attention to the bottle.
This day Africa has shown me its first kindness.
Santan lifted the sodden fur to her lips and sucked the cold, sweet dew from it.
This is a special day, Hani. This is a special day for me and my baby.
When all the egg bottles were brimming full and carefully replugged, they indulged themselves, drinking the dew until they were satiated, and only then did Santan look around her and begin to appreciate what the fog meant to the plants and creatures of the desert. Bright red ants had come up from their deep nests to take advantage of it. The worker ants scurried from plant to plant, sucking up the droplets so that their abdomens swelled and became translucent, on the point of bursting before they disappeared back into the burrows. At the entrance to each burrow, a cluster of other ants were assembled, the wedding party to see off the breeding queens and their consorts as they lifted into the foggy air on paper-white wings, fluttering off, most of them to die in the desert, but a very few of them to survive and found new colonies. The sand lizards had come down from the dunes to feast on the flights of ants, and there were small rodents, gingery red in colour, that hopped down the valley floor on overdeveloped hind legs like miniature kangaroos.
"Look, honey, what is this?"
Santan had discovered a strange insect the size of a locust, which was standing on its head in an exposed position. The dew condensed in silver droplets on its shiny iridescent armour plating, then trickled slowly down the grooves in the carapace and were channeled into the creature's hooked beak.
"Good eat,"
Hani told her, and popped the insect into her mouth, crunched it up, and swallowed it down with relish. Santan laughed at her.
"You dear funny old thing."
Then she looked around at the small secret life of the desert.
"What an enchanted land Africa is. At last I can understand a little of what Michel tried to explain to me."
With an African abruptness that no longer surprised Santan, the mood changed. The curtains of fog peeled away. The sun struck through, and within minutes the gem-like droplets of dew had vanished from the stone plants. The ants disappeared into their burrows, sealing the entrances behind them, and the sand lizards scurried back into the slippery dunes, leaving the dismembered paper wings of the flying ants they had devoured to blow idly on the small offshore wind. At first the lizards, still chilled by the fog, basked on the sunny front of the dunes, but within minutes the heat was oppressive, and they ran across the ridges of the slip face to shelter on the shady side. Later, when the noon sun dispelled all her shadows, they would dive below the surface and swim down through it to the cooler sands beneath. Hani and Santan shouldered their carrying bags and, bowed under the weight of the egg bottles, went down to the beach. Owa was already at the camp, and he had a dozen fat lizards impaled on a stick of driftwood and a goodly bag of the gingery desert rats laid out on the flat stone beside the fire.
"Oh, husband, what an intrepid provider you are!"
Hani laid down her carrying bag, the better to praise the old man's efforts.
"Surely there has never been a hunter of all the sand to match your skills."
Owa preened, quite unashamedly, at the old woman's blatant flattery, and Hani averted her face for a moment, and her eyes flashed a message to Santan in the secret language of womankind.
"They are little boys," her smile said clearly. "From 8 to 80, they remain children."
And Santan laughed again and clapped her hands and joined in Hani's little pantomime of approbation.
"Oh, are good. Oh, are clever."
And the old man bobbed his head and looked solemn and important.